Dateline Washington, Thursday, December 4th, 2008. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, still on the fence and still not sure how he's likely to vote, New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett joins us to talk about the questions that remain in his mind about whether Congress ought to fork over $34 billion of your tax dollars in bridge loans to the beleaguered U.S. auto industry. Chrysler and GM say they need billions of dollars immediately just to stay afloat for the next few weeks. Ford's doing a little better, but says it needs about $9 billion in credit in order to stay afloat for the longer term. We'll talk to Congressman Garrett about the questions he wants answered before casting his vote, as well as his impressions of how the $700 billion Wall Street bailout has worked thus far, and how he expects congressional Republicans, despite being in a distinct minority, to work towards creating an environment of fiscal discipline over the next 2 years on Capitol Hill. Also in this edition, the industry desperately needs the money. Automotive industry insider Peter DeLorenzo, author of The United States of Toyota, is with us to explain why he believes the auto industry has got its act together this time around as it comes to Washington, and why he believes if the companies get the money, they do have plans in place to make themselves profitable in the foreseeable future. Plus, gift certificates for abortions this holiday season. That's right, they're being made available by Planned Parenthood. We'll get strong reaction to that from Dr. Albert Mohler, head of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kentucky. And the week in politics, we'll talk about the president-elect's national security team, the victory of Georgia Senator Saxby Chambliss, and the tragedy in India with John Gizzi of Human Events. All that, plus Thursday's top news, follows our discussion with New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett, a Republican from the Garden State's 5th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Financial Services Committee, which, along with the Senate Banking Committee, is right in the thick of the hearings this week to determine whether or not the major domestic automakers ought to get more than $30 billion in bridge loans, especially GM and Chrysler, to keep them afloat. And Congressman Garrett, thanks so much, as always, for being with us.
Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Obviously, a couple of weeks ago, these same officials from the automakers were in town. They were told to go back and come back with a more detailed restructuring plan. They say they've done that now. From what you've seen, how sympathetic are you to their case for needing these billions of dollars in bridge loans?
Well, a couple of points. First of all, I take this whole item issue very seriously because it's an issue not just for the manufacturers and where they're located, but it will have a direct impact upon people there. Back here at home, whether it's the dealers or the people that rely on them, and all the intermediaries between them as well. So it's a huge issue to get your hands around. And secondly, on the point about you raised that the big three are coming back a second time. You know, they came to Washington the first time really just hat in hand without any proposal, and that obviously not the right way when you're coming to the American taxpayer for a bailout. But you can understand where they're coming from when they saw that Washington was willing to give out $700 billion to the banks of this country and the insurance companies as well, with absolutely no demand of any changes in their operation or specifications on how they're going to survive. So I think that's why they came the way they did the first time.
What are you hearing from your constituents, Congressman? Do they see this as an industry that cannot possibly allow to fail or even enter into bankruptcy, or are they saying enough with the giveaway of tax dollars?
Well, quite candidly, unless you're hearing from the people directly involved in the industry, the vast majority are saying that, as they did with the bailout of the banks, when is the bailout going to come for me? Because, look, we're in tough economic times. Even though the price of gas has come down, still it's really tough out there. Unemployment's going up. Job security isn't what it was years ago. And people are feeling uncertain, and they're seeing a lot of bailouts, a lot of tax dollars going out the window, and they're just wondering, is there going to be anything left when they may need an assist?
As I mentioned earlier, Congressman, you are on the House Financial Services Committee, which will also be quizzing these three industry executives. What questions do you have first and foremost on your mind for them?
When we address those, you know, some of the issues that have been made most of the news, I think, are, you know, secondary ones. You know, I just heard somebody answer that question by saying, well, how do they drive down? Do they drive down or fly down and that sort of thing? And I think those are just the silly political issues that a number of members are asking. Secondly, on the issue somebody was raising as far as what about the job banks, I'm glad to hear that that issue has been addressed, but that's even a secondary issue as well. The real issue is what is their, what is their game plan going forward? So this is not a bridge to nowhere. This is a bridge loan to someplace. you know, some of the proposals that they're making, I'll just make this point, such as, you know, eliminating dealerships and the like, sounds good, but does that really save any money on the bottom line in the long term that needs to be done here? So there's a number of important issues that we raised. Hope we have the time to get into it all.
Congressman, in terms of the impact on your district, is there a large manufacturing sector, and does the decision of Congress have a significant impact on your constituents coming up here in the next few days?
No, we don't have a manufacturing sector in our district per se, like Michigan or what have you, and that's not what's going to drive it. What's going to drive the issue is what's good for the economy, what's good for the country, what's the right thing to do as far as the role of Congress and the role of government in these areas.
And so what's your predisposition at this point? Obviously, you will want to hear all the evidence, perhaps go more carefully over the reports before making a final vote when it comes to the committee in the full House. But what's your inclination right now?
Well, I think you put it exactly right, is that I do want to hear all the information that they have, why the case that they're going to make as far as what the impact will be on the economy if action isn't taken, whether there's other action that can be taken in the short term, whether or not all parties on their side of the table, the unions and the like, have already have come to the table and bargained, if you will, in good faith at this point or not. And we haven't really got those answers in the Senate hearings today, I can tell you. So I think there's a lot more answers or questions out there.
Congressman, you certainly raised an important point earlier in our conversation when you said that those not immediately impacted by this particular issue, this particular industry, may be reluctant to support it because either they'll want their own bailout at some point along the way or they just don't think it's a good idea. There are some, including Minnesota Governor Pawlenty, who say the federal government's out of money and they're pretty much playing with monopoly money at this point. Just how many times can the government do this, even if it is for a vital industry?
Well, and that was a point that was raised by one of the economists who is still supporting this bailout today in the Senate hearings. The government is not a bottomless pit, and the reason for that is that the American taxpayer and his pocketbook is not a bottomless pit. Look, the taxpayer is already being hit this side and that side, being whipsawed by so many things in the economy. At the end of the day, when the government throws out this money in bailout, it's going to come out of yours and mine and every other taxpayer's pocket. He wants to know if we're going to just leave him anything.
And in terms of what we may see here, obviously we've talked about the fact that you're open to hear all the arguments and the facts in this case. We are also hearing that there may be at least a stopgap version here in which Chrysler and GM might get their immediate money when then the larger issue could be determined in the next Congress. Would you rather deal with this now or do it piecemeal?
No, I think you need to deal with the issues as you have them before you. I just heard that point raised as well. If you go that route, what you're basically saying is you're not making a loan then to these to the industry. You're basically just giving them a grant or a handout or a bailout because under that scenario, then it's a very good scenario that possibility that they come back and say, well, we can't do it because we haven't reached an agreement, so we have no way of repaying the American taxpayer those dollars. Then they will go into bankruptcy, and you'll never get the money back, and we'll be back. All we'll have done is just kick the can down the road, so to speak, is at least the argument one of the economists made today.
What kind of fundamental thesis does the House Republican Conference have going into the next 2 years? Obviously, you've got a tough economy and some tough decisions will have to be made, but in terms of commitment to fiscal conservatism, how strong do you believe it will be, and what do you think it might look like over the next couple of years?
Oh, that's a great question, because we'll be challenged not only with this bailout, but with the one that Speaker Pelosi will be throwing out, whether it's $100, $200, $300, $600 billion of a stimulus package. I hope that the Republican Party is willing to stand up for once and all collectively and say that the way to get the economy going is not to borrow from the future and pay out today, but to allow the economy to grow, to lower tax rates, to stimulate the economy in the non-Keynesian, if you will, economic manners, because simply bailing industries out, bailing out other sectors, as Nancy Pelosi is speaking of with her stimulus package, is not going to give a long-term growth to the economy.
Talk a little bit more about the conservative version. What sort of tax cuts would you specifically like to see, and what else might be part of any sort of congressional action endorsed by Republicans this year?
Well, I dropped in a bill this during the 110th Congress, which has a 3 or 4 point plan to economic growth that would lower capital gains, lower corporate taxes, do away with the tax on inflation, which we don't have right now to any degree, but we very possibly will in the near future. And fourthly, to allow businesses to start expensing their capital expenditures, and as opposed to over the long term. If you do those 3 or 4 items, I think you begin to help to turn the economy in the right direction. Obviously, there's a number of factors out there, but those are the, I think, good, solid Republican principles to live by.
About 2 minutes left in our conversation with New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett here. And Congressman, hindsight is always 20/20, but what's your assessment on the $700 billion financial bailout of Wall Street at this point? And do you think it would have been structured or sized any differently if there hadn't been an election a month away?
Yeah, it's interesting about the election. I don't know. It probably would have been different if the Secretary of Treasury was not telling the country and the world that the sky was going to fall unless we passed his bill within the next 24 hours in the next week. Look, he said we were going to have to do one thing in order to get the economy going, and that was to buy mortgage-backed securities. Congress, over my objection, passed that bill. He immediately changed his mind, didn't implement it, and now has basically changed his mind again. So, and still, despite all the passing of the bill, we've seen the market drop 3,000 or 4,000 points, or more than that, actually. So we saw the sky fall, if you will, as far as the market is concerned. On the upside, we saw the credit loosening to some extent, and I think we'll see it loosening even further as the banks begin to deleverage and what have you.
Assuming that the president-elect's choice of Secretary of the Treasury, Mr. Geithner, is confirmed, he, of course, has been part of the whole bailout structure process here. What would you encourage him to do differently than Mr. Paulson?
Oh, well, obviously he was intimately involved with much of what was done up to speed so far. He may have been involved with making the decision of not bailing out Lehman, but and I know a lot of critics say that that was one of the aspects that led to the precipitous problems that fail afterwards. I think we need to have just a lot more transparency and openness from both the Treasury and the Federal Reserve as they go forward on these items before they leave us in the decision where they have to make the decision on a Sunday evening going into a Monday Congress like we've seen in the past.
Congressman, unfortunately, our time is up. Great of you to be with us today, sir, as always. Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett represents the Garden State's 5th Congressional District, member of the House Financial Services Committee. This is Dateline Washington.